It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, we're back. Quick time on your Wednesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Trey Wallace, and the Bear cruising with you here on the Drive. Top 5 at 5 today brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. Check them out online at cnbtn.com. The NBA and ESPN are finalizing plans to televise a horse shooting competition with stars Chris Paul, Trae Young, and Zach LaVine among those expected to participate. The competition will also include a couple of WNBA stars and fairly recent NBA alumni, as John Ward would say. Mayor, would you watch an NBA, WNBA horse competition?
No.
I thought you said you'd watch anything at this point.
I'm not watching horse. That's one step above the NASCAR.
One step above what?
He dropped again.
Mayor, what are you doing? Is he fat facing the phone? Is that what's happening, Tanner?
I don't have a clue. He just tried to call it back, and as soon as I tried to pick up the phone, he dropped again. So I don't have a clue.
Trey, are you watching horse?
I don't think so. No, it doesn't really do it for me. Not this virtual thing. I mean, unless they're taking them like a half court shot.
Oh, is that what they're doing? They're all going to be on their own court.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it seems like one of those things that I tune in for. I'd be all excited because it's live sports, and I tune in for, and then like 5 minutes into it, be like, wait a minute, this sucks. Guess I'll go back to watching reality shows on Netflix. Number two, Tom Brady. Typically a pretty private individual, said as much today on his SiriusXM interview with Howard Stern when talking about his new home in Tampa Bay, which was built by Yankees Hall of Famer Derek Jeter. Says he's a little too accessible to the average Joe via the water. Also said that being married to Giselle is difficult. They've gone through some rough patches. Barely, do you feel sorry for Tom Brady? He's had a real tough go of it, man. I mean, his marriage has had some problems. He's had some professional turmoil now, having to move to Tampa Bay to Derek Jeter's former home. I mean, guy's got it rough.
He's worried because his house is accessible by water.
Yeah.
I mean, let them eat cake. I mean, just once again, Tom Brady's a garbage person.
Oh!
I mean, just total garbage.
Number three, the coronavirus pandemic has created another obstacle for the NFL as it relates to the 2020 NFL draft, which has not been postponed and will be conducted virtually. Over the past several days, a concern has grown amongst certain coaches and other NFL staff members about IT employees entering their homes for fear of spreading the virus, according to Adam Schefter. Certain IT employees are also concerned about entering the homes of NFL coaches and staff members. I guess that works two ways, huh? NFL coaches and front office members have been working remotely from home for the past several weeks after NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell prohibited them from being able to go to their facilities due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Bear, are you letting anybody at all inside your house during this?
No. Kind of defeats the whole purpose of doing what we're doing, doesn't it, Russ?
Well, not the whole purpose. I mean, you're not going to a public gathering. Or...
I mean, they want us to stay home. They keep separated. We need to stay home, keep separated. I'm not about dragging this crap out any longer than we have to. If they're saying this is what it's going to take to, return us to any sense of normalcy, I'm all about, I'm a rip the Band-Aid off kind of guy, Russ.
Trey, would you allow anybody up in your domain? Say, all right, Trey, you are a phone, like an internet junkie, right? You're always on your social media. Say your internet goes down. or yeah, Comcast, whatever, whoever does your internets, would you let the internet guy come into your house to fix it if he had to, or would you just do it?
Yeah, he can come in and I fix him lunch.
You do that, like when you have people come at like the, do you offer the Comcast guy or the pest control guy or, you know, guys who are like working in your yard or whatever, do you ever offer them like food? Bear, do you do that? Like, come on in, I'll fix you something to eat, one glass of water.
No, I might take them a cold water, you know, a cold bottle of water outside. It's super hot, but most lawn crews worth their salt, they got a, you know, jug on the back of the truck. No, you're not coming in my house right now. I mean, I can't even have my own child over to my house right now.
What kind of meal are you offering to fix for me, Trey, if I'm over at your house?
I don't know, maybe a ham and turkey sandwich with some chips of your choice, whatever I have.
Some oatmeal?
Some oatmeal? Yeah, definitely. I've got a lot of oatmeal.
He'd offer you the Subway special. You get a foot-long BMT.
Trey's like, true. I got a half-eaten spicy Italian trio in the fridge if you want some.
Make you a cup of some maple brown sugar oatmeal.
Number four. Add Nick Saban to the list of people who've had to find new ways to work while social distancing amid the coronavirus. The Alabama football coach said today that he has finally had his own email account. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, here we are, April 8th, year of our Lord 2020, and Nick Saban has set up his first email account. How about that?
What's his email address, I wonder?
He says, I've come a long way, he told Maria Taylor in a Instagram Live ESPN interview. It's hard to communicate when you have to be by yourself and you always depend on somebody else to get your emails and messages and all that. They were sending them all to Miss Terry, and she fired me. She said, I'm not dealing with your stuff anymore, so I had to do it on his own. I guess Nick Saban went to Gmail and set up his own account. What do you think his address is, Bear?
Short guy 69 at gmail.com. Crimson Dwarf. Miserable Prick.
Oh!
gmail.com. Sorry, Russ. Sorry.
And finally, number five, Fabian Lovett preferred to exchange Twitter DMs instead of taking a phone call. He just wanted a break. After all, he'd been on the phone with coaches every 5 minutes the past few days. That's what happens when a former four-star defensive tackle hits the transfer portal. 6'4", 315-pound Mississippi native estimates he's heard from 20-plus schools since entering the transfer portal on April 3rd. Those programs include Florida, Florida State, Tennessee, Oregon, Ole Miss, Michigan, and Houston. He says his phone has been on fire since he announced he's leaving Mississippi State.
Is he one of the kids that broke Tua Tagovailoa?
I don't know. What is that? The guy who fell on Tua? Trey?
I'm trying to remember.
There's three of them.
Who was our guy? I mean, Tennessee Darrell got that Middleton. Started. It was Darrell Taylor,
Middleton.
Right? Top five of five. Brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Follow them on Twitter, folks, at CNBTN. They've got a lot of news coming out about everything that they're going through to help you stay online and keep your financial life online on Twitter at CNBTN. As we break it down here this afternoon on the show, grab a phone call from T-Carp. Good afternoon, T-Carp. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing today?
Hey, man. We're doing all right. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm still got a job, and I've still got my health. So, I mean, check those two boxes right now if we're doing – anybody's doing good. So, talk to me about Mike Leach. I know you went – in hour one, talked about the tweet, which I think is if anybody's got to apologize for a tweet, that's minuscule in my opinion. But I was just thinking, I got in a little argument today, and I want to hear your opinion on this. And I feel like I know Bear's opinion, but I want to know Russ's opinion. Is Mike Leach a good coach? Not would you want him here. Is he a coach that you're kind of scared to play? Bears.
No.
So you're not scared to play him, okay? Russell?
No.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great coach. I mean, you look at what he's done in his career to win a Big 12 championship at Texas Tech, of all places, to have them ranked as highly as he did, to be as successful as he was at Washington State, two schools that are dang near impossible to win at. I think he's, regardless of what your feelings are, whether you like the style of play, whether you like his personality, I don't see how anybody could make an argument that he's not a good coach. I mean, that would be absurd.
I completely agree. Bear, you still think that he wouldn't have been a good hire here, correct? Is that the consensus?
No, and this week's stuff proves it, T-Carp. The guy's a clown. He's a buffoon.
He's not a clown or buffoon. He's that old guy. He thinks that Twitter is
Facebook.
That's
not what we
needed. He sees something that he likes, and he pushes the share button. That's all he did.
That's not what I'm looking for in a football coach after the misery and just kicks to the ass and to the private parts that we've suffered collectively as a fan base for about the past 10 to 15 years here at Tennessee, T-Carp. I'm sick of it.
So you want
– I want an immediate football coach that's not going to go on social media and we're not going to get distracted. I want a coach that's focused on one thing, and that's on winning football games. Repeatedly, over and over, just like the 90s.
And you think that Garantano gives us the best chance to win?
That's no, you're not going to move the goalpost. We're not talking about Garantano. You're asking me about Mike Leach.
I'm telling you
that
Mike Leach would not have Garantano as quarterback, though.
I don't care.
Either that or Mike Leach would have Garantano.
Look what you've done, Rich. You got poor T-Carp all wound up again. This is ridiculous.
Well, hold on. Answer his question, though. You brought up all the – you're calling him a boob for his Twitter persona, for the way he talks to the press. When it comes to pure football, he's probably been the most innovative force in the college game the last 30 years.
He won the big one?
It's not now you're moving the goalpost. Just to answer the question, I mean, it's a simple yes or no question. Is the guy a good football coach?
I think he's above average. I don't think he's the second coming
good?
Of Canute Rockne like you two mouth breathers do.
That's all.
Go ahead.
I guess that's all we're getting out of him. He said he's above average. I didn't think we'd get that far with him, T-Carp.
Hey, above average is fine. I just think that I get that to say I would still love to have him as a football coach here. Now, Pruitt has impressed me with how he has bounced back after that just debacle at Georgia State and BYU. Like, just debacle. Now, I remember sitting there with you, Russell, while we're watching the Indiana game, and it was like, what are we doing? But they found a way to win that. I'd rather, I guess, find ways to win than find ways to lose. But I just want to see how we do if we even have football this year. I want to see how we come back and how, like, are they there and are they prepared? Like, and also, how do we play against, you know, Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, the big boys? Do we still get our rear ends handed to us, each one of those? Like, at some point, we've got to make strides against those teams as well. But that's me jumping all around today. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for the phone call, T-Car. Appreciate it. I tell you this, Bear.
What?
I mean, at least if we had had Mike Leach I mean, Mike Leach could have lost to Georgia State, BYU just as easily as Jeremy Pruitt did. At least he would have been entertaining, made us laugh and feel a little better afterwards.
Yeah, we go with all your old, it'll be entertaining, it'll be good for the show argument about, you know, how we're supposed to hire a football coach, Russell. You know, you're one of the clowns leading the charge to get rid of our Hall of Fame coach. Don't think I'm ever going to forget about that. And I'm never going to stop bringing it up.
Yes, I was the one who I pushed.
You were
it
out there with your torch and your pitchfork.
Fair.
You were on the radio back then, buddy. Don't try and rewrite history.
Yeah, I was on the radio in 2008. I was 28 years old on 8:50 a.m. I think I had about 14 listeners, of which you were one. And yeah, I had something to do with Jeremy with Philip Fulmer getting fired. It was me. What are you talking about, dude?
Well, I was one of the 14, dude. You were doing it. I did recognize your talent very early on in your career. This is
Mike
where you
Leach
say thank you,
gotten,
Bear. I appreciate the compliment.
Mike Leach wouldn't have gotten fired, and thank you, Bear, wouldn't have gotten fired in 2008 because he would have been likable enough. We would have been fine. You know, we would want to keep him just for the laughs.
Lord.
See, I can make completely ridiculous, spur-of-the-moment nonsense arguments that I pull out of my rear end just as well as you can, buddy.
Yeah, but mine are based in logic and reality. And reality of the situation here in Knoxville. Yours is you just want to be able to come on the show and do your... I'm sure you have some pirate, but the whole Smith family are big fans of pirates and ARG and all that. I'm sure you had it all planned out. You were going to have Russell, you know, ahoy, mateys, and then, you know, you could have done your Mike Leach pirate impression. I know
you see,
man.
This is what you do. This is what you do. You make it, you put it all on me. Like I'm just the only guy that wanted that. For that glorious 24 hours, when we thought we were getting the pirate, when we went to sleep that night, knowing that Bahama John Curry was up in Pullman, and he had met Mike Leach on the bike path down by the water, and he had gathered him up for the first of many beers. When we thought that we were getting the pirate, it was universal. We were all ecstatic. We were all hopeful. All joyous. You're the only one. You were the only one, the only stick in the mud that wouldn't have enjoyed it, Bear.
The voice of reason crying out in the night that you guys are being idiots. I mean, for God's sakes. I don't know. I was never impressed with him going all the way back to the Mummy thing. And when he was on Mummy staff, he's a Kentucky Wildcat at heart. He can go to hell. Mike Leach. Hard. Have fun.
You're really going at Mike Leach, man.
He's an idiot. I mean, he's a complete buffoon. Your recruiting season took off the Thailand last year for like 3 or 4 weeks. You think that's going to fly here?
No.
I mean, Rick Barnes is bringing in a top 5 class next year, and Phil and Jamie and the boys get on here and rip his ass every chance they get.
I would just love to be a fly on the wall for the – what are they calling it, Trey? A listening session that he has to go on? Listening tour?
He's going to put the headphones on, and they're going to talk to him in his ears while he's on tour. It's like touring any other museum.
I would just love to see, you know, one of these young social justice warrior types, you know, 21 years old. They read some Noam Chomsky book the last semester, so they can solve all the world's problems, you know. I would just love to see the look on Leach's face as he struggles to hold his tongue while some young whippersnapper tries to educate him about the plight of the poor man in the South.
How do you think he would have handled the element, Russell?
You're an idiot. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Bear, Trey Cruz along with you here on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Looks like we got some thunderstorm warnings in effect for after midnight. After midnight, we're going to let it all hang out. Y'all ready for a wild and woolly evening in East Tennessee?
Heck yeah.
No,
why not? No, bring it on.
Batting down the hatches. What is your thoughts on, were you a big Mike Leach guy, Tanner Carson? He seems like the kind of weirdo that would strike your fancy.
Oh, that's, he's my favorite coach in college football.
Really?
Seriously?
Yes, I love the Pirate. I've read his book, Swing Your Sword, and he's like, I turned him off, Russell.
Thank you.
That's disrespectful. That's disrespectful as hell, Bear. Get some manners.
Okay. Go ahead. Swing your sword. What else?
Tanner Carson said if he wanted your opinion, Bear, he'd scrape it off the floor of the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios.
Look, here's the thing real quick about Leach. With him, you know, being in trouble, I guess, for his tweet, I will level with you. There is some risk. There is some risk to having him as the head of your football program because the man simply doesn't care.
Ward.
He finds what he finds funny, and he shares it. He I describe his Twitter feed as pretty much your boomer uncle on Facebook sharing some stuff. It's all the big white text memes, and some of it can be funny, but a lot of it's just really silly, Russ, like you mentioned. But the guy's just too much of a character for me to not like. One of the first stories he talks about in his book, Swing Your Sword, is when...
what, are you like his literary agent now or something?
No.
Like,
no, I'm telling you real quick, I'm not going to give you the whole story, but basically it's a story about how he took care of a dog that was peeing on all of his stuff when he was a kid. That's all I'm going to say.
What's the stupid, I mean, oh, Lord, have mercy.
You okay. Want to know what he did? I'll tell you real quick. You want to know what the dog stopped peeing all his stuff when he was a kid? He found the dog.
He peed on the dog?
He held the dog down, and Mike Leach, young Mike Leach, peed on the dog.
Mike Leach is a sociopath. I mean, just a complete, is that really, that was in the book?
Yes.
I can see
you guys
Bruin
are
going to
want this guy's a damn football coach.
Trey, would you trade Jeremy Pruitt for Mike Leach right now?
No.
Tanner?
No.
No, not right now. If you asked me this when it looked like he was going to be our coach a couple of years ago, I'd say hell yeah, I was on board at the time. But right now, no, I'm good, because here's the thing. It might sound, you know, fantastic at the time, as fantastic as, I guess, tripping on acid with Hunter S. Thompson out in the desert. It's something like that. Right now, I don't want to end up hating him. I don't want to have to end up turning on him if he sucks.
You might have to turn on Jeremy Pruitt if he sucks.
It's a lot easier for me to do that. It won't hurt my heart as much.
I mean, Bear, there is no denying that this is not even a fact that can be argued. Mike Leach is a more accomplished football coach than Jeremy Pruitt. You wouldn't argue against that, would you?
He's got more accomplishments, but I'd still rather have Pruitt.
I feel like you guys, all three of you, are just being nice to the guy who's here because you don't want to offend him. You can... Listen,
No. Don't you dare, Russ. Don't you dare try and spin me that way. I don't know about Trey and Tanner, but I will tell you right now, I'm not doing this at all to save Jeremy Pruitt's feelings.
Oh, yeah. Russ, I don't care either. After Georgia State and BYU, I was ready to send him back down the Tennessee River in a wooden skull can. Not literally, of course.
It can't be a cannon that's made out of wood, can it?
Well, I mean, fashioned a box, Alva, looked like a skull can. You know
snuff
what I meant.
Box. Snuff box.
Sure.
Mike Leach is the more proven coach right now.
No doubt. no doubt.
That's,
and here's
as
the thing,
simple
man,
as that.
Like, Jeremy Pruitt, you can say that, yes, you'd rather have Mike Leach right now because he's a better football coach as far as we know. But you can also say that Jeremy Pruitt might have a higher ceiling. We don't know that. He's still very young. He's only been a head coach for 2 years. He's much younger than Mike Leach. He might end up being here's the beauty of Pruitt right now is the jury's still out on him. We still don't really know who this guy is. And we still have no idea what he's going to turn out to be. He could turn out to be anything from the next Coach Fulmer who could take us to the top of the mountain, or he could be the next Butch Jones. And that is 100% a possibility. And if you say otherwise, you're lying to yourself. He could be another Butch. We don't know yet. And he could be anything in between. He's a blank slate, and we're all projecting our hopes of him being a great football coach onto that slate right now. But we don't know. We don't know. I have no doubt Mike Leach, if he were at a place like Tennessee and he had access to our recruiting budget and our fan base and everything that goes along with being the head coach at Tennessee, which is incomparable to the situations he's been at, Washington State, Mississippi State, Texas Tech. Are you kidding me? If he was the coach here, he would get us to 9-3 easily 9-3. And who knows, maybe if you have a special season every now and then, he win 10 or 11 games. We don't know that about Pruitt yet. We don't know if he can get there.
I think his ceiling's higher. He could. There's a possibility he's just enough of a savant, and that he's got a really good coaching staff. He seems to have tuned it up pretty good, and I could see him getting us all the way into the playoffs. That's all you could ask for in this day and age. Just get us there.
Who do you think has a higher IQ, Pruitt or Leach?
Mike Leach.
I think that's an ugly question to ask, Russell.
Why?
No.
Well, I'm just going off the law degree that Mike Leach has.
Well, Bear just called Pruitt a savant. I mean,
in what?
He's got a savant like in football. Specifically, being able to read offenses.
Do you think Pruitt is a better defensive mind than Leach is an offensive mind?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I do.
I feel like we
Pruitt
say
ever
that.
Face just, Leach?
I feel like we're doing the thing, like we're this is a lot of Saban credit we're giving him, right?
Yeah.
Stood next to Nick Saban all those years, hoping
it
rubbed off.
But then again, you're crediting Saban with finally being in a place that will pay anything and everything to get the best players.
That is a good question, Barry, you brought up. Did Jeremy and his stops at Georgia, Florida State, or Alabama ever go up against a Mike Leach coach team?
That I don't know.
I don't think so, because Pruitt didn't get into – he was still a high school coach until 07. And by that point, Leach is at Texas Tech, and I don't think Alabama – I don't think any of those schools ever played Texas Tech or Washington State. So I don't think they've had a matchup yet.
Maybe even a bowl game? Okay.
When do we play at Mississippi State in 2021? They're coming on the schedule again here soon, right?
I'm pretty sure, yes. I'll look up Tennessee's schedule. Yes.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing you're going to find out is how good Jeremy Pruitt is against Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the interesting one for now. looking at Tennessee does not play Mississippi State in 2021.
We don't play them in 2022 either.
Yeah, you don't get them in 22. You're probably not getting them around until 23 again.
They're not on the schedule for 2023 either.
Man, you know what? Our... I'm really looking forward to that Tennessee at Pitt game in 2022.
2023, our two non-conference games are at BYU and UConn at home.
That's a train wreck.
And then 2024, we're scheduled to get Oklahoma and Neyland.
You think that's pretty cool that Tennessee hosts Army in 22? Pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, but didn't they come in here and beat us in the 1970s, Bear? Army,
yeah, they beat us once. I mean, that's a historical opponent for us going all the way back to, what's our original side of them? The General Neyland? I think that's, you know, it goes all the way back to those days. I'm glad that we're playing them again. So, I grew up watching, you know, they frequently played.
Have we played one of the service academies since the Inky Johnson game against Air Force in 2006?
I don't think we have.
I don't think we have either.
That's still the most brutal hit I've ever seen.
Those games are awful. Like they're always close, man. I mean, hell, you saw, was it Army or Navy almost beat Michigan this past year? Those, like, they always play.
Army almost beat Oklahoma this past year. Army and Oklahoma didn't they go to overtime? Because I remember because that game was on pay per view. Because they couldn't have the rights anywhere. They put the game on pay-per-view, and nobody could find it. And that game went down to, like, the last second.
What do they run up there? They run the triple option?
Yeah.
It's hard to defend. I don't know. I mean, those kids are always really well-disciplined, and obviously. And, you know, I mean, they're never easy when you play them. Those kids are tough.
Hayden Wallen says we play at Mississippi State in 2024. So if Leach can hang on, not get himself fired for 4 years, he should have it rolling by then.
Hopefully we get this COVID-19 under wraps by then.
Oh, we'll have it under wraps by then. I mean, it may take 18 months, but, you know, we should be ready to go for 2022.
Let's grab a phone call from TJ, the Kentucky fan. Good afternoon, TJ.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I got a few points real quick. Love the show so far. You know, I'm going to have to take Leach being a better offensive mind than Pruitt being a defensive mind. And here's why. I'm not being biased. Here's why. Leach this year took a walk-on senior on Washington State's team, and he threw for almost 5,000 yards. A walk-on senior who has played Division III football his entire career, makes the jump to Division I, and then has numbers like he did. Also, if you don't remember, Leach was under Hal Mumme at Kentucky and had Tim Couch as a number one overall pick where his career died in Cleveland, where everybody's career died.
I mean, there's no doubt Leach is more accomplished just by virtue of him being around longer. But you don't get to be around that long without being good and being proven. And he's an innovator. I think it'll be interesting to see if his system works in the SEC. I think it will. I think he's probably going to have as much success at Mississippi State as he did at Washington State and Texas Tech, which is to say he's going to win a bunch of games. He's going to be stylish and brash doing it, but he's not going to be able to win. He's not going to take Mississippi State to the college football playoff. I just don't see that happening there.
No. Oh, I don't either. One more thing, and I don't know if you guys have talked about it or thought about it, but with all these win totals coming out for this season in football, I'm not betting anything on any of these games because say we do have football with no fans, that home field advantage is gone. So Kentucky going to Auburn this year isn't going to be as extremely hard to beat Auburn unless there's 100,000 fans in there, and vice versa for, you know, I don't know, Tennessee at Florida or Alabama at Auburn or something like that. The home field advantage is going to be wiped away if there's no fans.
Wow, that TJ, you just blew my mind, man. Of all the things, I feel like I've done a pretty good job of considering all the different angles. That's never really crossed my mind. He's absolutely right, Bear. That will be, I don't know, will that help us or hurt us?
The not having fans?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't feel like, I know there are a lot of listeners probably right now thinking, what are you talking about, Russ? We got a 100,000 seat stadium, man. That's not good. Like, I don't feel like we've had much of a home field advantage the past couple of years with a handful of exceptions. But he's right, man. It's, I guess it would help us if we go and play Oklahoma on the road with no fans.
Well, yeah. Look how intimidated they were. I mean, they ended up pulling it out because we had a complete, you know, flaming moron as our head coach. But, I mean, you've heard how those kids from Oklahoma talk about that game in 16.
Yeah.
About how intimidating it was and how they could actually feel it. And it was oppressive, the noise level.
I mean, I guess it hurts our chances against Florida, but I just have no hope in that series anyway.
Nah. You know.
It helps us on a road game at Georgia.
Sure does. Late November. We're beating them this year if we have football. Look at Dano.
Anything else, TJ?
Yeah, I just like to say, with that in mind, I really like our chances at Auburn and at Florida this year for Kentucky football if you take the fans out of it. I really do. Auburn, it's always tough to play there. Hey, by the way, I remember back in the day growing up in Tennessee, whatever happened to the Tennessee-Auburn rivalry? Didn't y'all used to play a lot back in the early 90s and in the early 2000s? I feel like y'all did.
Yeah, until the divisions, we played them, I think,
every
about
year.
Every year, didn't we?
Every year until 91 was the last time we played them on a yearly basis.
Those were always good games, man. I liked watching Tennessee and Auburn duke it out.
Good stuff, my man.
Yeah, it is good. Thanks, DJ. Appreciate you. 865-546-8200. That's got my head spinning, man. I guess I have to go through the game by game. I mean, we shouldn't need a crowd to beat any of the non-conference home games that we have this year. I don't feel like it's going to make a big difference in, you know, like Missouri at home or at Arkansas. My gut, and I'll have to think about this a little bit more here during the break, but my gut is if they play an entire 12 game season this year, an entire 12 game schedule with no fans for any of those games, my initial thought is that will help us. As crazy as that sounds for having as big a stadium as we do, but I don't see it as being like, you know, maybe it hurts us in the Missouri and the Kentucky game and stuff like that because we don't have, you know, our fan base. I guess Neyland can be intimidating for those types of teams.
Yeah.
But we should win those games anyway, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's ponder that. Let me ponder it. It's an interesting point by TJ, the Kentucky fan. Quick
bring
time
it back tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be back to wrap things up, put a bow on things this afternoon. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up right after this on Fan Run Radio. Live on a Wednesday afternoon, Russell, Bear, and Trey back with you. I want to get Trey and Tanner's thoughts on this because I've been thinking about this during the break and looking at the schedule. Trey, do you think if we play a full 12-game schedule this season with no fans for any of the games, do you think on the whole that benefits or hurts Tennessee?
Oh, goodness gracious. I think that hurts Tennessee because of the games that they, the big time games that are scheduled to be at home.
Florida and Bama, namely?
Yes, yes. Because if Tennessee, look, if Tennessee's going to take the next step this year, they got to beat either Georgia, Florida, or Alabama. You got to beat one of the three. And then you got two of them that are at home, which would give you a great opportunity. But if you don't have 102,000 fans in there, then it's just, it's going to be a bland game where you're just going up against each other. And you know what I mean? Like, there's no benefit factor there.
Tanner Carson, what say you?
I don't know. I mean, this is the way that it's going to be across college football. I mean, I don't see the way that it necessarily helps any home team. Now, to gauge, I guess, what impact there's going to be, I guess we're going to have to get to that point first, right? And then we're going to have to see the first slate of games played in stadiums that have no fans. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be odd to see. But again, for any home team, especially if you play in to not just use Tennessee, for an example, I'm thinking of LSU, Death Valley. I'm thinking of Oregon, Washington, places known for some very loud home environments. I don't see how having no fans really helps you, but I don't know if it's going to hurt you that bad.
I mean, let's go through it real quick. Season opener at home against Charlotte. It shouldn't matter there. We should beat Charlotte no matter what. At Oklahoma, huge help for the coaches to be able to help Garantano or Harrison Bailey, whoever the quarterback is, to be able to walk him through things. That would be huge. Furman shouldn't matter. Obviously, it hurts us against Florida. Hurts you against Missouri. I still think you should win that game. I'll tell you where it probably helps us the most, more than any other game besides Oklahoma, is at South Carolina. That would be huge, in my opinion. South Carolina is going to need all the help they can get. Without those fans, that's going to be difficult. Bama, it hurts us. I don't see us winning that game anyway. At Arkansas, that should help. At home against Kentucky, it hurts. Should win that in anyway. It helps against Georgia. Makes that a much more winnable game, in my opinion. Then you've got Troy and Vanderbilt. Shouldn't have much impact there. So I think on the whole, I think it could be a benefit for Tennessee. But an interesting point there raised by TJ, the Kentucky fan. Let's wrap things up here this afternoon. Got a couple minutes left. Roger is up next on the drive. Hello, Roger.
Hey, guys. Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Much. Doing well, man. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing fine, Bear. Is Bear, I don't know he's on there. Is he still there, Bear? Still there?
I think Bear has stumbled outside to have a heater or do whatever it is the Bear does, but I can answer in his proxy for you, Roger. What would you like to ask the Bear?
All right. Trey, how you doing? Trey?
Hey, Rod. Good to hear from you, buddy.
You too. It's good to talk to you. I always want to ask you about that, Russell, about Pruitt. He first second year. How you think he? What was the difference in his second year? You think? I know he really improves. He improved his second year. What we think? The first year when he got the Brutus to 4-0, but he didn't go 4-0, but it went 5-7. What was it? We think the difference was in his second year and the first. Between first and second year, you think, Russell?
I think it's just being in his second year as a head coach, knowing how to be a head coach more, trusting his assistants more, hiring Derek Ansley. I think his players having a second year in his defensive system, which is really hard to learn. It's a lot of mental concepts and stuff. I think all that stuff helped Tennessee. I think you saw that as the season went along, just the more experience they all had together, they just continued to improve. So I think that's what gives Tennessee fans hope, is that they continue to improve and that the defense is even better, and that your second year under Jim Chaney's system, that the offense is even better. So that's why fans are optimistic, Raj.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He put 30 year, but here's how he does that. Trey, you think Tennessee, you think Florida and Georgia wise, you think Tennessee should be able to compete, maybe win in the East. You get Florida and Georgia this year.
I think they're going to be much more competitive against the SEC East teams, Raj. Georgia is a better team than Florida on paper, but for some reason, I feel much more confident about playing them than I do against Florida's just been in Tennessee's head for so long. I'm shattered as a fan when it comes to that series, and I have no problem admitting that publicly.
Yeah. I got you. How about you, Trey, on that, Trey?
Thanks, Raj.
I think, bye-bye.
You have a good one.
Have a good one, man. Have a good one, buddy. I think, Russell, I'll say it again. I think Tennessee needs to beat one out of the three this year for it to be a successful year, and I think they need to win 8 to 9 games.
The other thing that, you know, getting back to the whole no fans in the stands thing, I mean, everybody remembers the video of 2018 at Auburn with Pruitt basically telling Baylen Buchanan where the ball was going. If there are no fans in the stands, that Oklahoma game, that Georgia game, Pruitt and Ansley are going to be able to joystick coach and move their guys around. I think that could be a huge benefit. I don't know, man. I obviously hope we have fans in the stands, because I hope this thing goes away and all that stuff. But I think it could be beneficial to Tennessee on some level. Roger, thank you for the phone call. Big thanks to Bear and Trey. And big thanks to Tanner Carson for all his hard work back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Y'all be careful of the rain coming later this evening here in East Tennessee. Can't believe the week is already halfway through, but we are rolling through quarantine editions of The Drive. For Bear and Trey, I'm Russell. Have a great evening. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio.